Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Today. It's a good day, huh? Awesome. Well, the title for today is, Who is Watching You? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you today, God. We glorify your holy name, Father, for you are such a good Father to us, God. Lord, every day you carry us, oh Jesus, and you bring us to places where you know it's good for us, God. And today, Father, we are here, God, to receive from you, Lord. I pray, King of Glory, God, that we'll be good soil, Lord, that whatever you're going to speak through me, King of Glory, Father, that it will take root, oh King of Glory, Jesus, and he'll give you glory at the end, oh Lord. Father, I pray that you may take me out of this, the whole sermon, oh King of Glory, God, and so you can speak to your people, God, the same way, Jehovah God, you gave me this message, Lord, that Jehovah God, I may deliver it exactly like it is, King of Glory, Father. So, Father, I give you honor and glory for your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So when I was growing up, we used to do this thing. So we kind of did it sometimes when we were serious. So when I was in primary school, you know, there's always bullies. You know, there's always a big kid who think he can beat up everybody, right? And then there's also these other people who, like, they have the heart. They're like, no, you can beat me up, but I know you can beat me up, but I'm going to show everybody else that I'm tough, right? So what we'll do is we'll go out there and I'll plan with my friend. So I'll talk with my friend. I'll be like, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out there. And then once we go out there, I'm going to start a fight with him. But before I start a fight, what's going to happen is I'm going to just bring it. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be like aggressive. And I'm like, let's go fight. But right before I get to him, I want you to hold me and pull me back, you know, and then I'll start swinging, and I'll continue swinging, but I want you to pull me back, and then that way, he'll be, like, really scared, and so it's not even so much for him, because he probably knows that he's going to beat me, but it's more for the other people who are watching, so they can be like, man, you know what, yeah, man, I'm so glad that you stopped Mugi, because you know what, Mugi would have destroyed him, right? So the whole truth is I was not prepared to fight. I was a scrawny kid, and so of course I wouldn't fight. But I knew that would work. But then the issue came in sometimes when they'll call me on my bluff. Then it'll be like, okay, so what you gonna do? So at that point you have two choices. The first choice is you fight, then you get beat up, then it's more shameful, right? Or you hope like a teacher is coming by or somebody, and so you look and like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't fight because there's a teacher over there. So, you know, you escape. Or you bow down and everybody knows that you are faking it, right? So this evening we are going to examine our hearts. We are going to examine our hearts and try to figure out, what kind of dude are you? Are you the guy who's like, hey, I got this, I'm walking like this, I got the spiritual walk, I got my life straight, I got everything good, or are you the guy who is, but if something comes up and reveals, it moves out the curtain, then we get to see your heart. Or are you going to be the guy who's like, hey, I got this, I'm walking in faith, if things get bad, I got the guy behind me who's going to take care of you, right? So it's easy to say that when you are walking in this Christian life, sometimes we might have to mask, sometimes we mask who we really are. And we're going to look in 2 Kings 6, 8, 17, it says, now the king of Syria was making war against the Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the men of God sent the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place in which the man of God had told them. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servant and said to him, will you show me which of us
is for the king of Israel. And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the word that you speak in your bedroom. He says, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, I don't know, sure, he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounded by the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, master, what shall we do?' So he answered, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said to the Lord, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elijah." So we see here a story. There's this king who's trying to attack the Israelites. But every plan he says, so he sets the army at a place where he's going to ambush the Israelites. But every time he'll do that, they'll change the route. They'll go on a different route. And so the king is like, "Hey, man, somebody has bugged my castle. There is something in there. Somebody is telling people what's going on." And so he's like, "I need to know who's doing this." And so one of the guys come and says, "Actually, it's not one of us. But there's this man called Elijah who loves God. He follows his way. He does the will of God. And so God is using him to tell the Israelites where you're planning." And so he musters a big army, and they go out to go get him and bring him in. So there is a young, so when a young man, the sword bearer, wakes up, he goes out and he looks out and he sees this vast army that's out there. Big, big army. And he goes back to Elijah and he tells his master, "We are surrounded. We are surrounded. What are we going to do?" See, this young man had been walking with Elijah every single day. He was his sword bearer. He had spent a lot of time knowing who Elijah was. And even a couple of verses before that, in 2 Kings 6:4, it says, "They came to Jordan River and began to cut down a tree. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the axe fell in the water. He cried out, 'Oh, master,' it was a borrowed axe. The man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed Elijah the place, Elijah cut off the piece of wood. Then he drew in the water at that place and made an axe. The head of the axe float. Elijah picked it up. The disciple reached out and picked it up." So he has seen Elijah do miracles. He's seen him, an axe falls in. It's supposed to sink, right? But he's seen him put a stick out there and raise that. So he has seen Elijah that he's a powerful man, right? But when he woke up and he saw the army, something changed. He panicked. And he says, "Alas, there are so many of them out there." And if we look at the word "alas," it doesn't sound like it's a good word, right? Right? So two things happen to him. First of all, he knows that because he's seen the life of Elijah, he's seen that he's faithful to God. He's seen that if as long as he's within Elijah, as long as he looks at him, he's going to be okay. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing that happens is the young man's heart is revealed when big things really happen. And that's what happens. So he's seen Elijah every single day. He's seen the miracle he's done. A couple of verses before that, he's seen the axe come up. But then something changed. Something changed here. Now there's a difference. Before, he's looking at an axe. An axe is somebody else's issue. An axe doesn't affect him in any way. And if it does, well, it might affect whatever they're thinking because it's a borrowed axe. But now, whatever he's seeing is something that affects him directly. Yeah. And so the question to us is, what do we do when we've been masking that we are okay with what we are following God, but then big things come in our life? How are we going to act? Who's watching you when that happens? Yeah. People are watching what we are doing. People are always watching where you are. People are watching when things, small things are coming in our life. People are watching when medium things come in our life. People are watching when big things come in our life. The question is, what are we teaching them when they look at us? What are they learning when they look at us? Because it's easy for the young man to say, hey, I walk with Elijah. I do my stuff. I'm always here. We read the Bible together. We pray together because he's his armor bearer, right? He has to be with him all the time. But then that's when just the normal things are happening. So you'd think he has learned to be faithful and to be just like Elijah. But he's relied on Elijah's power that he's forgotten to work on his heart. And what happens in this story is here we see him, that his heart is revealed. And now, this, just like me, the bluff has been called. And what is he going to do? Is he going to rise up and fight? Is he gonna trust that Elijah's God is going to help him? Or is he going to trust the man that he's been leaning onto? Or is he going to cower like he did? Right? Because part of this is, I see, when he says, alas, it doesn't sound like a real good. It's an expression of grief, pity, or concern. So he's seen all these miracles happen. He's seen all these things happening in Elijah in his life. But yet, when something huge comes in his life, he's scared. He has pity because he thinks he's going to be destroyed. What if he can't pretend anymore? What if we cannot have a smokescreen in our life that's telling people that I'm okay, and when the big things come in, they reveal the heart that we have? See, the floating acts is easy to believe because it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you directly, but there comes a time when you're surrounded by enemies. What are you going to do? Who's watching, and what can they learn from you? Ephesians 4:1 says, "So I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of your calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits good character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behaviors. A life that expresses gratitude to God for you and yourself, gratitude to God for your salvation." So we've been called to live a life that exhibits godly character. And we are not just talking about just when people are watching, when we want to put a front in front of people, right? When we want to show people that this is the kind of living. But they are saying we are supposed to live a godly life where every time, no matter where you are in your life, that people can look at you and see God in you, right? So how do we make sure that we live this kind of life that's worth our calling? The first thing that we do is you have to step up in faith. So if you look at Elijah, Elijah verse 7 says, "And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, a mountain was full of chariots, horses of chariots and fire all around Elijah." We will have to see the chariots first before we can point them out to somebody else. So Elijah, if he wasn't walking in the way of God, if he wasn't true to God, he would never have seen the chariots, right? And if he couldn't see the chariots, how can he be able to point out the chariots to the young man? See, Elijah had a strong relationship with God, which allowed him to have confidence in God. It was easy for him to point out the chariot of fire to somebody because his life had been lived in a way that he knew God was always protecting him. So when things came in, when he heard that there's all this thing, where there's all this army that's surrounding them, he did not cower or even go scared. What he did is he knew that God was faithful. He looked to his God at that moment. He said, God, you've been with me before. God, you've already conquered so many things in my life. Guess what? Even this, no matter what's out there, I'll still be okay. You think about it, you know, I always put myself in the Bible, and I think about Elijah when the young man came in. And he's sleeping, right? Think about the panic of the young man. He's like going crazy. He's like, man, we are about to get beat up. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be destroyed. But Elijah, because he knows there is chariots of fire, I bet you he didn't just get up and run outside, right? Because sometimes we read the Bible and you feel like, oh, it just happened and it happened. I bet you he probably woke up, brushed his teeth, probably combed his hair, you know, did his morning routine, right? And then he went outside. But that's the confidence in the Lord that he has. Maybe he did his morning prayers. Maybe that's what he started doing. Whereas, what did the young man, when the young man woke up and he looked outside, what did he do? Alas, and he ran back to scream that things were going bad. See? But somebody who's already grounded in Christ, somebody who has a personal relationship with God, somebody who knows that God is always going to be there, they're going to act like Elijah. They're not going to act like the young man, right? See, if we don't have an intimate personal relationship with God, we will not see the chariots and the fire. And you're not going to be able to point it to anybody. I wonder what people would say if God opened their eyes to see what you see. Let me say that again. I wonder what people would see if God opened their eyes to see what you see. Would they see God's mighty army surrounding you? Would they see victory? Would they see defeat beating you down? Would they see fear? Would they see the walls that you've created so that it can mask, like, hey, I got this. I can take this dude down. I can take the devil down. Would they see that? What would they see? Who's watching you? What do they see? See, even a sword bearer, even though he was scared, he knew that Elijah was a person to go to. Because he had a choice at that moment. He could have run off. He could have told the armies. But who did he go to? He went to the man of God. And that tells us that when we stand in a way that represents God, people are watching. And when they need help, when they need something, when they don't know what direction they're going to be using, they're going to come to you because they're seeing that. And that's why we as saints are called every single day to walk in a life that represents God every time. Because this young man, he would have gone to the guys with the big, you know, with the spears, with the big army. There's one guy. There's millions of armies out, not just the ones who are surrounded, but the ones in his camp. He did not go to those guys. He went to the guy who serves the Lord because he knew that God was in control. See, the thing is, sometimes we read these stories in the Bibles and we think that we are immune. We are immune to this. We are like, if it was me, man, I just trusted Elijah, I'd have just known God is going to be there. It would have been good, right? But then I was reading and checked out Mark 4:35-41 says, as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowd behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill the water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and shouted, teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? So think about this. The disciples who have been spending time with Jesus Christ every single day, seeing his miracles, seeing all the things he's doing, seeing him feed the thousands that he fed, seeing all the people that were healed, casting demons and all this stuff. But they are on a boat. And then it starts shaking. The wind starts coming in. The water starts flowing in. What do they do? Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? See, the thing is, it's different when we are just walking and everything is good. Everything is good. There's small things that come in our life. I can handle that. It's a little stuff. There's something that comes with our friends. We can pray over that. It's going to be okay. Something comes at work. Yeah, God is going to give me he's going to give me work. I trust and I believe God. But the question is, when you are in a boat and then the storms start coming in and the waves are high and the wind is strong and you feel like you are alone, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then whatever you're going to do when the people are watching you, what are they going to think? Who's watching you? And what are they going to learn from that? Psalms 139:23 says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Because if you ask this young man, he probably was okay. You know, he thought he was okay. He spent time with Elijah. He was okay, right? If you ask the disciples, they were okay, right? They spent time with God. They prayed. They did all these things. They did miracles. It was, you know, they were part of the group. But then when crazy things happened in their life, if they had allowed God to search them and reveal these things, it would have been easier for them to step in and step out in faith. Because most of the time we think we are okay. We think that the things that we are doing, we are reading the Bible, we are coming to church, we are praying, we are doing these amazing things, we are doing community work, we are doing all this stuff, and it's really good and it's needed. But the question is, what's going to happen when big things come? Have you allowed God to search your heart every single morning, every single day, every single night to reveal your heart condition? So when the shaking comes in, when the waves comes in, when you wake up and you find that you're surrounded by the army, that your reaction is something that glorifies God. And the people that are watching that, they will see God in you. And 2 Kings 6:18-20. So when the Assyrian came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike these people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now Elijah said to them, This is not the way, nor is it the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come into Samaria that Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with a sword or your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their masters." Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the band of Syria raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Think about that part right there. So Elijah prays that these guys be blind. They become blind. If you have an army that's about to come kill you and destroy you, and now God just delivered them, what would your reaction be when now they're all blind? Let's kill them. I'm thinking that way. What do you guys think? Right? I'm like, dude, if this is going to be an example for the rest of the people, this is never going to happen. They're going to come in, we're going to destroy them, it's going to be good, right? But what does Elijah say? He leads them into the city. When they go into the city, he says, the king is like, "Can I kill them?" He says, "No, we're not going to kill them. What we're going to do is we're going to feed them, we're going to show them grace, and then we're going to send them out." So my other question for us is, what are we teaching those who are watching us? Elijah teaches the young men a few things. You have to be willing to look the direction that is being pointed. The young man had to look to the direction the army was. So that's the first thing. So you think about it. Sometimes God is directing people in our life, and he's saying, "Hey, I need you to follow this person. I need you to listen to what they're saying. These are people that I've put in place for you to be able to follow." And they come here and they direct you in a certain path. But then what do? We start looking in a different direction. The young man was told, look out and see the chariots of army. He had a choice too. He could have been disobedient and just run the other side. He could have stayed indoors and said, "Hey, I'm not going out there." But he chose to do that, right? The second thing that he learned was the battle belongs to God. Right? The battle belongs to God. Because he realized that when God is in it, it doesn't matter how big the army is. God is going to do what he's going to do for his people, right? And you think about it too. So Elijah brings his people and puts the army in there where they get fed, right? And some people, you know, I think about the Bible this way. Can you imagine what kind of stories these people, this army went and told when they went over there? What kind of praise did they give God because of the grace that that Elijah did for them? Right? You can imagine them going out there saying, hey, we were about to be destroyed. We were taken in. You can't believe this. We sat down and they fed us. And you're like, did they feed you so they can kill you? No, they fed us and then we were good and then they let us go. More so, think about the humility and the peace and forgiveness that was taught to these young men, to the army that was sitting over there. Who is watching you and what are they learning? See, these people, they got to learn, this young man and the army that saw, they got to learn the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. And the interesting part is, if you read at the end, it says, so the band of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. So none of them, the battle was done. No killing went on. No anything that the human nature had already thought that was going to do. Everybody attacks us. When they attack us, we kill them and then we send a message. But in this case, they take them. They take care of them. They feed them and they send them away. And from that day onwards, none of them comes back. What kind of lesson did Elijah teach all those people? Again, I ask you, who's watching you, how you react, how you deal with stuff, and what are they learning from that? See, we have to be careful how we live our lives. Somebody is always watching. How you live your life matters a lot. How you live your life matters a lot. You are modeling to the next generation. You are modeling to the person next to you. You are modeling to the community out there that doesn't know God. You think about it. Elijah followed Elijah. Right? Elijah followed Elijah. And so he turned out twice as powerful as Elijah, right? He said before Elijah was taken away by a chariot, he said, I pray that I can get a double portion of your power. And so Elijah taught Elijah just by watching, right? Because he watched him how he carried himself. He watched him in everything that he did. And what did he turn out? He turned out more powerful than he was because he was given the double portion of bread. Right? Think about the disciples. Yeah, I came a little bit down on the disciples on the boat. But eventually, after they, things worked out, right? At the end, when the disciples, things worked out, they end up going out there because they spent time with Jesus doing more miracles, you know, than Jesus did. Right? Because they were watching Jesus. Who's watching you and what are they learning? Right? And see, the thing too, the opposite is true. If we look at 1 Kings 25, 51 to 53, it says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He reigned 2 years over Israel. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Habat, who made Israel to sin. So the opposite is the same. Who's watching you and what are they learning? These guys, they watched the way they were sinful in their ways. They watched their father and mother sin in Israel, do all these, worship idols, do all these things that God detested. Did they change? No. They followed what they learned. And I don't know if you guys have read Kings, a lot, you know, Kings, and when you read Kings, your heart sinks. My heart sinks. Because you see all these kings who started out really good, they continue, and you're like, man, I think that one is going to make it. I think that one is going to make it. But then he adds, he did not do everything that God had asked him. And he says, just like the king before him, he did not do what? Right? So it is the same thing with our life. The way we live our lives, we model to our kids. We model to our families. We model to the people who are watching you. See, this is just one example, but all over the Bible, all over our life, you can see that we emulate the people that we watch. We emulate the people in our life. We watch those people. We take what they are doing. And unconsciously, we end up doing this. So my question again for you is, who's watching you and what are they learning? What are your kids thinking when they watch you? What is your husband thinking when he watches you? What is your wife thinking when she watches you? What does your family think? What are they learning when they are watching you? What about your coworkers? What do they think? The list is endless. What is blank think of you when they watch how you react in life? How you carry yourself every single day? What are they thinking? Can they glorify God because of how you handled something? Or do they wonder, I know you say you are Christian and your life is good and I know that you do all these things, but the question is, how come when that thing happened, I didn't really see Christ in it? Right? What are they thinking when they are watching you? Who's watching you and what are they thinking, right? See, at some point, somebody is going to call your bluff. And no amount of good deeds, no amount of good service, no amount of classes, no amount of groups will be enough to hinder you from being exposed. How you live your life matters. The truth is, you're being watched and people are going to learn from you either way. You are being watched every single day. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. You are being watched and people are going to learn from you. And two, they're going to learn two things. One, they're going to learn what to do because they're going to watch you. Or they're going to learn what not to do because they are watching you. Right? When people look at you, what are they going to see? Who is watching you? Let's all stand up. Lord Jesus, we honor you, God. We glorify your holy name, Father. We thank you for you as such a good Father, Lord. That Jehovah God, you love us enough, God, to give us a chance, Father, to examine our hearts, oh God. That we can come to you, Lord, and say, Lord, I have been putting a mask, O King of Glory, so then I can fit in this place or in this group or with these people, or I can show people this or I can do this, Lord. But you're telling us, Lord, that when we come to you, God, and we honor you, Father, and we say that, hey, hear our burdens and put them at the cross, O King of Glory, God, that you forgive us, you forget them, and don't remember no more, Lord. That Jehovah God, you change our hearts, O King of Glory, God. You take the old heart, O King of Glory, and you put a new heart, King of Glory, Jesus. So, Father, tonight, O King of Glory, Father, I pray, Jehovah God, that you may speak to every individual, God. That I know, Lord, in our human nature, Father, in our sinful nature, Lord, there are places in our life, no matter what, that we try to portray different from what it is, O King of Glory, God. And this is just a weapon of the devil trying to cover it so then that way we don't realize that it is sin, Lord. How sad would it be, Lord, that when you come back and we found that there was sin that was undiscovered in our hearts, O God. So, mighty King of Glory, I ask you, Father, that your spirit will go through to each and every person, Lord, myself included, O God, and reveal, Father, those things in our hearts, O God, that are toxic, O God. Reveal those things in our hearts, O King of Glory, God, that needs to be changed, O God, for your glory, God. Those things in our hearts, O King of Glory, God, that are making people not want to come close to you, God, that are making people not want to be in a relationship with you, God, because when they look at how we act, O God, they do not see you in any way, Jesus. Father, King of Glory, I pray, Father, that every time we step out there, that every word, every thought, every action, O God, that Jehovah God will be that light on top of a mountain, O God, that shines and shows, Father, that you are God, O God. Mighty King of Glory, I praise you, Father, for your word today, Lord. I thank you, Jehovah God, because your word never returns void, O God. So, Father, Lord, I thank you because, Lord, you don't tell us these things, Father, as a judgment, God, but you tell us these things, Father, to be aware of those little things, Father, that the devil tries to put in, those seeds that he tries to put in our hearts or in our lives, in our relationship, O God, so then they can destroy us from the inside, Lord. So, mighty King of Glory, I just leave your people in your hands, O God. And I thank you for your word, O God, and I praise you and I honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. So, thanks for coming. A little bit of business. So, the AMC tomorrow the floor is going to be redone. So, all the strong men and women, right after this, let's go to the AMC. We are going to grab all the tables and bring them up front here. all the tables in there, and then we are going to arrange the chairs in the back over there. So if we can, if everybody who's strong enough can pitch in, we can probably be able to do that in 5 to 10 minutes. And then Saturday in the morning, men up, and also tomorrow, women's treat. Yeah. So, all right. So we're excited about that. Yeah. And have a good, And go get your kids. Yes. They miss you and they love you.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for watching the Faith and